when I first started ministry, I had the privilege of preaching a lot of revivals, and enjoyed that. And they invited me to Normal, of all places, and I was anything but normal. And that was my first time that I sang before the church with another person. And we were supposed to be harmonizing, but I just kept singing the same thing she was, because I didn't know it. Singing, I never was very good at singing. But I like to sing. I drove by churches this week, and it just kind of shows how old and crotchety I am. It said, silly wabbit, Easter's for Jesus. And I thought about that. And I thought, well, the only silly one in the bunch is the one that come up with that idea. I mean, I've never seen a rabbit yet that's going to save me. I don't even like rabbit. But Easter isn't for Jesus. It's about Jesus. And there's a difference. It's for you and me. The fact that he rose on that day made a very important day for us, and rabbits have no idea what it was about. I don't think I ever shot a rabbit. If I did, it was back when I was just a kid. And I never thought about them then as being Easter Bunny, or I probably wouldn't have shot them then. But we all suffer. Yeah, that sign said, silly rabbit, Easter's for Jesus, Easter egg hunt after church. Kind of went together, didn't it? Oh, well. You know, God is really good to us, and some of the things I've heard you people talking about is encouraging. The books that you were advertising this morning, and trying to direct us down a spiritual road that will lead us, you know, to where we want to go. I think this little cartoon saying on the billboard of that church kind of speaks for where the church is today. We spend a lot of time trying to be entertainers, and we look up all the sly and funny things we could say on our out in front of our church to try to get people to come in. But there's only one thing that I know of that can really draw people to church, and that's the love of God. In Romans it says, be sincere in your love. Sincere. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, you know, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how these things that God has made available for us are there for a purpose. And it's not just for our reading, but it's for our getting involved in. And anything that we try to do in the church, any involvement we have in the church, needs to be supported by love. You know, I think it was in 1 John, he was saying, you know, how can we love God whom we haven't seen and say we love man who we do see? You know, good question. I mean, if I can't love you, how can I love God? And of course, the one thing you people have to do, whether you want to or not, that's the law in church. You got to love the preacher. And that way he gets by with a lot of stuff. But to get on the right track for us, and I've been trying to lead you down this spiritual path. Oh, I appreciate the fun in church. You, those that you know me, that I'm kind of a have a funny bone of my own, and I enjoy that kind of stuff. But when it comes to my real purpose, my main purpose in life, since God called me to preach, has been to make sure the people understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. You know, we don't really think about death. I've got young grandchildren, people that I talk to that are young, and they rarely think about dying, you know, making plans for dying. And I thought about some of the situations I've faced in my ministry. I remember in Lakeland when we were pastoring down there, and I taught the teens, and this one young girl, that particular Sunday morning, came up to me, and we started to talk, and she wanted to know how she could get to heaven. And so we talked, and I helped her pray the sinner's prayer, and she accepted Jesus. That very next week, she was killed, fell out of the back of a pickup truck. But God had set that date for a reason. But I remember another situation in Canton, when we were in Canton, and this young lady was a part of the Sunday school class, and I don't know how I got stuck with the youth all the time. But we talked, and I shared with her. She was a nice-looking girl, and you know, was a little on the wild side, I guess you would say. And she was, you know, running around with different folks, and I talked to her about that. I said, you know, you need to really think about. I said, you don't know, you know. I said, none of us know. We may walk out in front of a semi, you know. We don't know what's going to happen to us. But I said, you need to be thinking about that. And that young lady that week was also killed in a car accident. But she went out of this world, you know, without ever really making a commitment to the Lord. I know that was what scared me to death when I was saved. The preacher said there was a guy that came to revival every night but never did go forward. He kept telling the preacher the next night. But the night before the last meeting, he crossed the railroad track, didn't see the train, was killed. Didn't have a chance to make that commitment. Well, the funny thing of it was, I had to cross tracks on my way back and forth from where I was going to, and I thought about that, you know. It could happen. And we're talking about creating a church where Jesus is real when people come in, you know. He's not equated with a silly rabbit. You know, he's not Jesus the superstar that some movie has been coming back that's come from the olden days. But Jesus is Lord. He's God. You know, I mean, you can't get any higher up in importance than being God. And when we think about how we present ourselves before this world, what do people think about me? Or what do they think about you? I mean, the only thing about Richard, he's got a nice haircut. What do you... You know, we're to be a church without spot or without blemish. You know? You know, I've got blemishes all over me. I'm hoping that he's not judging me because of my blemishes of my skin. But he's talking about the blemishes in our spirit. We can do a lot of things and be a lot of things, and we can put out of front. We can make people believe that we're something that we're not. But if our love for God and our love for one another isn't sincere, then like Paul wrote about the gifts of the Spirit, they're no good. If we're trying to create or portray a church that is truly following God and loving God, then our love for God has to be real. Not just Sunday morning. You know, it's easy to be religious on Sunday morning because everybody expects it out of you. But what about Monday morning, you know? What about Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning? Jesus, there in John, he said, I've got a new commandment for you. I want you to love one another like I love you. Holy mackerel. Can you imagine that? God, that I'm supposed to love you like God loved me? You know, and when we really put it, the rubber to the road, when you really put it to the test, you know, I wonder how many flat tires we have. But the sincerity of it is that the whole purpose of God bringing us into his family is that we mirror him. He says, I want you to be holy because that's what God is. He said, that's what I am. I want you to reflect me in your world, where you work, in your family, out in the barnyard. I want you to love others as I have loved you. I don't only want it, but you must love others like I love you. That puts a whole different picture on it, doesn't it, that must part. Why'd he put that on there? It means I gotta do it. Well, if we're to love one another like God loved us, that's going to make a total difference in who we are. I go into Tractor Supply a lot, and there's a woman in there that works in there, younger woman. And she got, you know, purple hair. You know, that's different, you know. And I'm thinking, I wonder what that would look like if she was sitting up here in the front row in church, you know, with her purple hair. Would I love her like I love you? And all these young girls, some of these young men with things stuck in their nose and things in their ears and things other places. And, you know, I usually kind of aggravate them. And I asked him, I said, well, when you breathe, does it whistle? You know? And I've got those things in her tongue. I said, you know, how do you say those hard words? You know, like hippopotamus was one of those things stuck in your tongue. And yet, God is saying that I've got to love those people like He loves them. I've got to love the scraggly looking guy. I've got to love the guy in the suit. I've got to love the weirdo. Well, they couldn't be more weird than I am, could they? But we're talking about a church here that's we're trying to go forward. We're trying to become, to live in the true spirit of God's love. Are we still interested in bringing people into the church and bringing people to Christ? How many of you are still interested in that? So two of you, okay. To do that, we have to become real, not only with ourselves, but with God. We've got to become real. You know, we've got to realize that God lays out a pattern of life for us. It's not our choosing. We can't pick and choose what we want, how we want to do it. God lays out a pattern of life for us. He calls it a life of holiness. You see, when we were born again, we took on the righteousness of Christ. We are the righteousness of Christ. There is no sin in Jesus. You know, when people look at us, the world looks at us, what are they seeing? Are they seeing the righteousness of Christ? That's what they need to see. That's what we want to be. That should be the thing that draws us into this body of believers, like-minded people who want to be like Jesus, not only in the building, but outside the building. You see, God has made available for the church Jesus, listen to me, Jesus is the head of the church. You say, well, I don't have to be a part of the church. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Jesus is coming back for the church. Not the tavern, not the grocery store, not the car dealership. He's coming back for the church. And He's looking for a church that is representing Him, that is reflecting Him, a church without spot or blemish. You know, that keeps me on my knees a lot to think that if I'm going to be like Him, I've got to act like Him. You know? And I know some of us, when we get old, we think, well, I can't do anything. I'm old. We can always love. You know? I've told you that I'm going to test you one of these days. I'm going to bring somebody to church that you're going to have to love. You know? That you're going to have to show them what it means to love. To be Jesus. Because you may be the only Jesus some people ever see. And if they see Jesus in you, they'll see the love of God laid out before them. God with his arms open wide, telling us to come unto him, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You know, I want church to be more than a social club. I want to walk in church and feel the presence of his Holy Spirit, don't you? Isn't that what you're looking for? You just want to feel God's presence, where it makes you want to be a part of what's going on in that building. Kind of makes you want to shout hallelujah, doesn't it? Well, if you weren't bashful like some of you are. I say things that reminds me of stuff. I remember my first years in my Christian walk, and Jim's dad was the pastor of the church at that time, and he always preached such awesome sermons, and the people in the church were always, you know, amen and going on, and I kept thinking, I want to say amen so bad. You know, I want to join in with the church. I want to say amen. And the first time I got all built up that Sunday morning, I'm going to do it this morning. I got all ready. And I, amen. You know, scared me to death. And I know that sometimes we're that way. We're thinking the person next to us is going to laugh at us if we get silly. You know, I really appreciate Dawn. She's always got her hand up in worship to God when she's leading the singing, when she's up here singing. You know, that doesn't hurt us. You know, some of you might have arthritis, might be a little tough. But it doesn't hurt to be open with your praise to God. In fact, I think when new people come into your church, they want to sense that praise. You know? Well, you don't have to swing from the chandelier. You haven't got any chandeliers. But there's nothing wrong with getting excited about the things of God, about Jesus. Have you ever really stopped and seriously thought about what it took to get you where you are today? The blood of Jesus. Have you ever thought about what Jesus went through to get you free from your sin? The love of God. Oh, how powerful. Many waters can't change the love of God. What's the bulletin say? Many waters can't quench the love. There is nothing, the Bible says, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is not another power out there, another entity out there in the world or in the world or in this building or anywhere that is powerful enough to take you away from the love of God. Oh, love of God, how great, how great to know that God loved me. That God loves you. That he laid his own son out there on the cross. You know, there was a need for the blood. There's no redemption without the blood. and it took the blood. The cross was the symbol that gave up the blood of Jesus. And it washed away our sins. Are you seeking that love of God more earnestly and more deeply? I want you to be thinking about these things this week. I know we go home and forget everything the preacher says, you know. I know that. But try to, folks, we're trying to do something here. Not just have church, but we're trying to become the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you don't pay me enough just to come up here and just to talk, you know, to make fancy talks. Maynard is already making fun of me. He's going to take my money away from me. He said, you dress too nice. No, we're trying to do something here. We're trying to become a lighthouse out here in the middle of nowhere. Obed, who in the world knows where Obed's at? We're trying to become the church that represents our Christ, our Lord. Is that what you want? Huh? Let's give God a praise, a clap praise. Let's say, praise His name. Would you? Praise His name. He's a wonderful God. And He loves us. Father, it's so wonderful to be in Your presence. I think of all the places I used to go on these Sunday mornings, all the things I used to do on these Sunday mornings, and how rich and blessed I feel today because I'm here with Your people. I'm a part of the family of God, born again, washed with His blood, filled with His Spirit, challenged to love my neighbor and others like You love me. I pray, Father, that You fill my heart even more today than it was yesterday with Your love. Help me to become Your ambassador in this world today. Amen. Shake hands, be friendly, and love one another. God bless you now.